Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Preached by the Lord Jesus early in the week of which 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then Jesus reverts back in verse number 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And the Lord Jesus comes back here, and he begins to give them signs pertaining to the tribulation, the 7 years immediately following the rapture. And you notice he makes this reference in verse 15 to the Antichrist here, standing in the holy place, standing in the temple in Jerusalem. Well, that's got some implications. There are some things that we need to see about that as we continue the series this evening on the Mountain Peaks of Bible Prophecy. Before we look at the scripture tonight, would you please bow and pray with me tonight? Father, I pray tonight that you will help us to rightly divide your word of truth. Lord, I pray tonight that we would allow your word to speak and the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. And Lord, I ask tonight that you would anoint me with the unction of the Holy Spirit to faithfully preach and to teach your word. We pray that this evening would be a time when we grow in your knowledge and grace. We pray if there be one among us this evening that does not know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, that you would draw that soul tonight to put their trust in your Son and be saved. Lord, bless this time we open your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember we began this series several Sunday evenings ago by looking in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32. There the scripture is talking about the mighty men of David. It's talking about those that supported King David during the days of his reign. And there came a particular instance, it talks about in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse number 32, when the members of the tribe of Issachar were recognized. And it said about members of the tribe of Issachar that they did two things. Number one, they took notice of the present condition in their times. And then number two, they took time to consider the plan of God for their day and for their age. And they were singled out. They were recognized and they were honored in God's word because of this, their understanding of the times, and then their consideration of the plan of God. And so we do well this evening if we follow the example of these 200 men that were of the tribe of Issachar. If we would examine our times, examine the seasons, and then the plan of God for the ages. I believe that honest students of the Bible would agree that we are seeing a convergence of prophetic signs that point toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're very careful that we're not setting dates. The Lord Jesus warns us here in Matthew chapter number 24 against setting dates, and the Lord is not in that. But the Lord Jesus did tell us in this passage here that just as you see the signs of the budding of the fig tree, so you can look at prophetic signs around you, and you'll be able to tell when the season of Christ's return is drawing near. And so that is what we have endeavored to do these last several Sunday evenings. We've looked at the signs, you might call them the budding of the fig tree and so forth. And the first one that we looked at was the mockery and the scoffing and the unbelief of the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially the doctrine of his second coming. We looked especially in that passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, when Simon Peter said, in the last days you're going to find men going about saying, where is the promise of Christ's return? We've heard all that before. Where's the promise of his return? In other words, why hasn't it happened? You say that Christ is coming again. Why has that not yet taken place? And these people today that mock and scoff and deny the return of Christ, and they reject Christ and his identity as the only begotten Son of God, do not realize that they themselves are fulfilling the prophetic scriptures. And we talked about some of the examples of the mockery of the Lord Jesus. We talked about the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. We talked also about the National Endowment for the Arts and their funding Andre Serrano's Portrait of Christ on the Cross,
so as we have gone along and we've looked at these mountain peaks, we call them, that cast their shadows upon the earth, we looked at the alignment of nations, Russia and Syria and Libya and Turkey and Iran and so forth. The alignment of these nations today points toward the return of Jesus Christ. And we went to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, chapter number 39, and Russia there is recognized by her old names, names centuries old, when Russia was called Gog and Magog. And the scripture tells us that in the last days, there's going to be a resurrection of Gog and Magog, and they're going. And the Bible names countries that are going to align themselves with the Russians, and it says they're going to come down on the mountains of Israel, and they're going to attempt to annihilate the Jewish nation. Well, we see all these nations today entering into covenants with Mr. Putin and so forth, and we recognize that this is setting up for that great battle that Ezekiel prophesies in chapter number 38 and chapter number 39. And then we mentioned a third one of these mountain peaks, and that is the global cries that we hear for peace and for safety. And I was reminding you that since the year 3600 B.C., we know of at least 14,500 major wars that have taken place. These wars have killed close to 4 billion people. That's two-thirds of the world's current population. And we're hearing these cries today. People marching in the streets, they're crying for peace and for safety. And, of course, that intensifies as we move toward the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 3 and light scriptures, which tell us that in the latter days, Jerusalem is going to be the most controversial city on the face of the Lord's earth. And we read in Zechariah how that eventually there's going to be an effort to surround the city of Jerusalem and to destroy the Jewish people, to take Jerusalem away from the Jewish people. Jerusalem tonight is the most controversial city on the face of the earth. And we're not talking about your politics. That's between you and the Lord. But you'll have to admit tonight that one reason that the political left hates Mr. Trump the way that they do is because he dared to do something that no other American president was willing to do. He has moved the U.S. Embassy to the city of Jerusalem because he recognizes Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It is not Haifa, it is Jerusalem. And it is the most controversial city on the face of the earth. And we talked about the high of the hows and the whys and that kind of thing there. We also looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13. And the sign, the budding of the fig tree, evidenced by the experience, the world experiencing a rampant increase in wickedness. And we looked in detail about the wickedness. Our culture is declining. Our culture is declining. Just common courtesies, common graces extended to other people, folks. It's not happening. We're living in a declining culture. People think today if you don't agree with them, you hate them. But we can disagree and still not hate one another, folks. But we live in this declining culture, and the reason it's declining is because of the spiritual nature. Men are dead in trespasses and in sin. We looked at the reprobate mind around the world that cannot make sense of the obvious. The world cannot make sense of the obvious. Folks, there are two sexes. I mean, you don't even get to eighth grade biology to figure that out. There's male and there's female. And we're living in such a depraved society today that they say, but you can't tell. There's just two sexes. The scripture says in the beginning, God created them male and female, created he them. But we're living in a time when society is declining. And we looked at that and how that's a sign of the return of quickly. Notice something else the Lord Jesus talked about. The Lord Jesus talked about violence. And we see the surge of violence taking place today is an indication that the second coming of Christ is near. If you look over in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, verse 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were," Noah's name spelled different in the New Testament than the Old. They're talking about the same person. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, if you hold your Bible, just mark it right here, but go with me back, please, just a moment to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. And so the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when I come again. And in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 11, and we read just a couple of verses there, Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God." Do you think tonight that we qualify as living in a corrupt world? Well, absolutely we do. Look at this. "And the earth was filled with verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And one of the signs that Jesus said would mark, like the budding of the fig tree, will be the increase in violence upon the face of the earth. And in when it says thou shalt not kill in Exodus chapter 20, the Hebrew wording, if you translate it literally, is thou shalt do no murder. But the closer we get to the second coming of Christ, the more we see this type of violence increasing there. All right, this evening I want us to wrap up with one more thing. The second coming of Christ, I believe, this is my personal interpretation of the scripture. The second coming of Christ, I believe, is drawing near because of the ongoing activity regarding the reconstruction, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and the preparations for temple worship to be resumed. There's not been temple worship in Jerusalem for approximately 2,000 years. Remember, in 70 AD, Titus destroyed the temple. There's not even been a temple in Jerusalem. But we talked about what the Lord said here in Matthew chapter number 24, and he talked about the abomination of desolation, that's talking about when the Antichrist goes into the temple there. It says when he stands in the holy place, and he said, whosoever readeth, let him understand. All right, Jesus is making the implication here that when the Antichrist comes to power, and remember that's right after the rapture, the temple is going to be standing in Jerusalem. The temple is going to be rebuilt. In order for Scripture to be fulfilled, there's got to be a temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Antichrist. You might want to make a reference here in your Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15, and say, go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. And we were reminded last Sunday evening that the book of Daniel is to the Old Testament what the book of the Revelation is to the New Testament. It's a book of prophecy. And it tells about the course of the age, and it tells about the end of the age. But Daniel chapter 9, verse number, go to verse number 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's when Jesus died. But not for himself. Remember, because Jesus died for us. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Who are the people that destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple? They were Romans. And Daniel's already told us that in the latter days there's going to be a revival of the Roman Empire. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, that's the temple, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. Who? The representative of the Roman Empire in the last days. It's a reference to the man of sin, or the beast, the Antichrist. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Remember, in Daniel's prophecy, these are not weeks of days, they're weeks of years. So it says the Antichrist is going to make a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. Israel is so tired of fighting tonight. They are so tired of wars. They're attacked by terrorists every week. They are sick of it. The Antichrist is going to present a plan to them and said, if you will turn all authority over to me, then I'm going to put an end to the wars in the Middle East. Sounds good, okay? So, but it says, and in the midst of the week, what's the midst of seven? Three and a half years. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What sacrifice? He's talking about the Jewish sacrifices to Jehovah in the temple. The temple has got to be rebuilt in order for the halfway point of the tribulation for the Antichrist to break the covenant with Jews and to cause their sacrifices to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's talking about the last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of what we call the tribulation is what the Bible distinguishes as the great tribulation. forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh, and her blood with her dung shall he burn it. And then he goes on and tells about the ashes and so forth there. Now, what's the significance here? At least since the year 2015, the Temple Institute has tried to keep tabs everywhere in the world. They find out that a spotless red heifer has been born. Since the year 2015, the Jews have been keeping watch on, and they've had some here in the United States. But in August 2 years ago, a red heifer was born in Israel. And that red heifer has already been examined by the Jewish rabbi and pronounced fit for this ceremony to take place. That red heifer, according to the Jews, must be 2 years old, minimum of 2 years old, before it can be offered as sacrifice. This August will be 2 years for one particular Jewish heifer. And the scripture tells us that when they're going to dedicate the house of the Lord, the sanctuary there, they've got to go through this process here, and they've got to have a red heifer. And men and women, boys and girls, the Jews tonight have a red heifer. You say, well, what's going on as far as the temple being built? The Jewish Temple Institute tonight believes, and you know, there's a problem because the Muslim Dome of the Rock is sitting on the what used to be Solomon's Temple grounds. So forth. Somehow that thing's got to go. Got to go. But the Temple Institute declares tonight that if they were to be given tomorrow the okay, it said, all right, that bomb it, whatever you got to do to it. Well, that thing's gone. The Temple Institute says that in 4 to 6 months, because they have developed a modular form, they can actually put the temple on the site of the Temple Mount. It's not going to be one of these building projects where it takes, like this dome up here in Atlanta for the clay ball. It's not going to be one of those long, drawn-out things like that. They said in 4 to 6 months, because we've developed a modular plan, they said we can bring the temple together. And in 4 to 6 months, we will be ready for temple worship to be reinstituted in Jerusalem. Okay, we've got to bring to an end. Can I do this? Coming to a close, can I just show you where to look in the scripture for prophetic significance of the temple? Real quick, would you go into the book of Isaiah chapter number 2? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 5. Y'all, thanks so much to Jason and the guys back there. They did a great job in getting these photographs. It's easier to comprehend when we can see it. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. When did Isaiah write this? About 700 years before Jesus was born. And it shall come to pass when? In the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. City of Jerusalem built on a hill there. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. In other words, the Messiah is already there. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at this. And he shall judge among the nations. Jesus is going to be king when this is fulfilled. And shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What's going to happen here? The temple is rebuilt at this time. When Jesus comes back, Jesus look, please, at the book of Micah. Remember Micah, then Nahum, then Habakkuk. Micah chapter 4, verse number 1. We're just closing out tonight looking at the significance. If Jesus is coming back, and he is, then we need to know something about the temple. How does the temple figure in this? In Micah chapter 4, verse number 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Okay, you've got to have the temple reconstructed in order for Jesus to fulfill this prophecy. Last one, Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. For the sake of time, look at verse number 16, please. Zechariah 14, verse number 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. Remember, Zechariah's already told us earlier in the chapter how the nations of the world, the unbelieving nations, are going to circle Jerusalem. They're going to try to annihilate the city of Jerusalem. And it tells us just when they think they've got Israel in their death clutch. It says Jesus is coming back. He'll stand on the Mount of Olives to the east of the city of Jerusalem. And he'll walk down across the Kidron Valley. He'll cross that little brook called the Kidron. He'll walk through the eastern gate in the city of Jerusalem. And folks, it'll all be over. But it says, those which are left, everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship.